Hello and welcome to the Green Business Podcast, a show about climate entrepreneurs and their exciting businesses. I am your host Bharti for these conversations about scaling up a climate-driven business. My guest today is Shubham Singh from CRAST, which converts agri-waste, specifically rice straw, into useful products like beer cartons and furniture. Rice straw is usually burnt in the fields and it is not considered suitable for any other application because it contains silica. CRAST's proprietary technology removes the silica and thus allows the rice straw to be used in multiple applications. Shubham, who is a chemical engineer, founded CRAST in 2017 when he won a grant to develop waste-based products. It took him nearly 4 years and lots of grant money and his sister's support, and I'm sure lots of coffee, to be able to innovate on the technology. Now, CRAST has a pilot factory where it is creating all sorts of value-added products, and its products have been used by the likes of Nestle and IKEA. So let's welcome Shubham. Hi Shubham, welcome to the Green Business Podcast.
Hi Bharti, thank you so much for inviting me today.
Yeah, lovely to have you, and I'm excited about our conversation. Let's start with the origin story of CRAST. Talk to us about how you started it and what were the first couple of years like?
Yeah, so the first time I came across the problem of crop burning was when I was doing my master's at Imperial College London. And so I was sitting in the library and one of my friends, he showed me in the newspaper that New Delhi is number one in terms of air pollution in the world.
Right.
And then he was like, why don't you do something for your country? And that was the first moment I thought, oh, this is a very big problem happening. And at my research group at Imperial, we were already working on carbon capture and research related to various lignocellulosic biomass to make value-added products, especially bio-based chemicals. So I saw it as an opportunity and I thought that maybe using my skills that I have gained, I could contribute in solving this problem. So when after finishing my master's, I applied for a fellowship program under BIRAC. Department of Biotechnology. Right. The fellowship name was Social Innovation Immersion Program. And it was an 18-month long fellowship with 6 months of immersions. And I was one of the four fellows selected across the country for this prestigious fellowship. It gave me a really good platform to go on the ground, understand the problems, and then come up with a solution. So that helped me when I moved back to India and enrolled in this fellowship. I traveled to various parts of the countries, talking to different stakeholders, talking to farmers, understanding their pain points. And this was our beginning. So we were based out of Venture Center in Pune. Venture Center is an incubator who was a partner with BIRAC for this fellowship program. And I got really good support in terms of mentoring, in terms of lab access, in terms of industry experts' advice on working out on my problem. I also got a grant of 5 lakhs under this fellowship to develop an alpha prototype. So that's how, slowly, piece by piece, everything fell into the place and we started in conceptualizing the journey of CRAST. In between my fellowship in 2018, we got another award. It's called as BIRAC Soch Innovation Challenge Award by the then Science and Technology Minister, Dr. Harshvardhan. And it allowed me, it was a really good grant, it allowed me to set up my own independent lab, hire more team members and carry out our research in a full-fledged way. So by September 2018, we incorporated our company and officially registered CRAST. As a startup company to focus our work on.
Okay, yeah. Lovely. And what was the first product like?
Yeah, so in our journey, we researched around various applications which can use rice straw as a feedstock, such as biofuels, biochar, composting, briquettes. But then the problem that we found out was that not enough margin is being given to the farmers. And especially applications like biofuels require huge amount of crop waste, and managing their supply chain and maintaining a regular supply chain is an issue. So rather we started thinking of more high value added products, and we narrowed down to furniture as one of our first application. Reason being, if you buy a furniture, say for example a coffee table, it starts from 8,000 rupees, it can go up to 30,000, and the branding furniture goes much higher. So we thought that with this application, farmers can get enough margin to make this economically feasible. Because see, the whole idea of solving this crop burning problem is that farmers should be incentivized. Otherwise, you know, it's just very expensive for them to, you know, harvest the crop waste, and using machinery is also very expensive as compared to burning it. So our whole focus in the model was giving them money, good, decent money. So in the beginning, in the furniture, we started doing a research in making composite boards. We call it engineered green boards. And we asked ourselves that why are people not already doing this? Though there are 50% of the particle boards in India market is already bagasse based boards, but those are very inferior and poor quality boards. And no one was actually making boards with materials such as rice straw. Reason, because silica is one of the reasons. Another reason is that it contains a waxy layer, and using conventional adhesive, using conventional glues, it is not possible to make good quality, superior quality boards, because that glue doesn't penetrate because of that waxy layer.
Okay.
And this was our basis of research. Another problem that we faced, that we encountered, was that the conventional glues which are being used contains high amount of formaldehyde, which is a known carcinogen. And there is absolutely no awareness in the market. Like if I ask you that the office table or the study table that you use at home can be also a source of cancer, you know, you will be surprised, because there is absolutely no awareness about it. So we had two challenges. A, replacing this carcinogenic formaldehyde glue with a sustainable alternative. And second one was formulating a glue which can create superior bonds with the crop waste particles. So these were the two focus areas. And in our process, when we started developing, we also noticed that the formulation of glue that we developed, we noticed that the conventional blending machines which are available in the market cannot work with it. And then we designed a new machine which can limit the use of adhesive that we use to less than 2% in making those boards, as compared to conventionally formaldehyde is used around 10 to 19%. So there was considerable cost saving, plus the machine that we developed allowed us to uniformly coat each and every particle of the rice straw with the glue, resulting in a far more superior quality board. And this year, in fact, we also got our patent granted. We have been able to technically validate our technology at a pilot scale. Have also recently launched it commercially in the Vietnam market. So that has been our first product, and very proud to say that we are India's first company which has made these 100% crop residue based formaldehyde free boards, and also very rare technological feat that we have achieved in the world.
Okay, so let me summarize it now. So it is difficult to convert. Rice straw is typically used for low value applications such as fuel, because high value applications including furniture were not possible, because these things would not bind together well. And you have a glue that does that, and that does not have formaldehyde, a carcinogenic glue. And because this glue, in order to apply this glue well, you had to do the machine as well. So you have the machine as well, right?
Yes.
Okay. So that's the product number one. And then is there more to your offerings? Is there one more product?
Yeah, our second product is basically pulp and paper for sustainable packaging applications. And this is something that we started doing research back in 2018 itself as well, wherein in Maharashtra there was a ban on single-use plastics. So there was a technical committee who asked us if we can research on sustainable packaging materials. So we noticed that there is a need to make sustainable materials as an alternative to plastics. There is a need to make a pulping process which doesn't emit any kind of toxic effluents into the river bodies. And we also noticed that using agricultural residue as a feedstock, especially rice straw, again the silica can be a problem because it can cause scaling issues, it can deteriorate the machines, silica being a very abrasive material. So that is why people who tried in the paper mills using rice straw, they don't prefer to use this raw material. So these were a couple of technical challenges in front of us, and we then designed a process. We also filed a patent for this on our technology, which was able to overcome the silica issue, which was able to create high quality paper, which is also food grade and can be used as an alternative to virgin paper also. So virgin paper is basically paper made from cutting trees.
Right.
So so we got really good results, and then we thought that again it's such a good concept where we don't need to cut trees for making for making paper as well. And even for this product, we have been able to successfully validate our trials at a pilot scale, and we are setting up our first factory of pulp and paper in the north, which will be commissioned very soon.
Okay. So rice straw is not used for pulp because there is silica, which is not good for the machines, right? Which can harm the machines that are processing it. So you have devised a way to remove the silica from the pulp, and therefore now rice straw can be used as a raw material for pulping.
Yes.
Okay. And then you do the second step, which is converting that pulp into various packaging products also, right?
Yeah. So we basically, our model is that we essentially sell pulp to paper mills who can then make paper and paper board.
Right.
Also to molded pulp consumers, people who can make egg cartons or tableware, cutleries, or any molded kind of packaging products.
Right. And how does it, so in terms of cost, so when I see sustainable packaging product, we see that bagasse based products have come in. They are also not able to compete, actually. Those are far more expensive than the conventional packaging products. So talk to us about how rice waste based products compare in terms of cost. I'm assuming performance wise they are the same or better, right?
Yeah, so we basically compare it with virgin pulp, tree-based pulp, especially for food applications, because recycled paper cannot be used for those kind of applications. And virgin pulp is usually imported to India from various countries like Sweden, Finland, and that packaging travels all the way from Europe to India.
Yeah.
And it is a good cost of transportation also, and it burns a lot of carbon footprint at the same time. So, you know, our model where we are locally using the raw materials from the farmers, and it's a very cheap raw material as well as compared to wood.
Yeah, sure.
And plus, wood will always keep on getting expensive because it takes years for a tree to grow. Whereas rice straw or any kind of agricultural crop is always coming, you know, it just takes 3 to 4 months cycle for a crop to grow. Right. So we have a you know, renewable raw material available on the field to keep on making these regenerative packaging materials. Right. So that is where, at the first place, we are able to save cost in terms of the raw material. Second thing is that in order to break wood, we need a lot of chemicals and heat and pressure to break it down into cellulose pulp. And pulp. Whereas rice straw is a very fragile grass. So the cost of processing the raw material of rice straw into pulp is far less chemically consuming and requires very less, you know, conditions. So that is why not only we have been able to make a more sustainable packaging product, but also a very affordable product that can be introduced into the market as an alternative to the wood-based packaging segment.
Okay, so for food product packaging, that's where the best use case is, because there you will be able to compete with the conventional packaging both in terms of price and performance, right? Okay. And you are selling pulp as well as the final products, right? So how does it work? You make it in one factory. I understand you have a pilot now, but what are you thinking? Will you take it, will you make it locally and sell it to local people, or will there be a big factory somewhere in wherever rice is available in plenty, and then you will sell the products all over?
Yeah, so see, our objective was, when we founded, was to solve the problem of crop burning. And we realized that if we set up this one giga factory, it will not be enough to tackle this problem. So that is why we changed our model. And our plan is to set up multiple decentralized small scale factories across different geographies, which can again locally source the raw material. It also reduces the cost of transportation, because otherwise transporting crop residue, it's very bulky material. It can get very expensive.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Yeah.
So that is our model, to set up multiple small factories. And the way we want to scale up is to give a technology on a franchise basis to large farmers, group, FPOs or regional businessmen, who can then set it up in their areas. And packaging is one commodity that the consumption is also so high that it can be consumed in the region as well. So local production for regional consumption is our motto.
Okay. And you will, so these small entrepreneurs will find it very hard to market. So you will, I'm assuming you will be marketing, taking the produce and then marketing it to whoever, right?
Yes, absolutely. We also thought about it that we can't expect farmers to do marketing and sales. So we offer to buy back the final products from them and then sell it under Kraft's brand name to our customers.
Okay. And if we see the bagasse, which is the sugar cane waste, that cutlery has been around now for a decade, or at least last 5-6 years, right? But it's still a very niche product because of the cost, or I don't know the other reasons, or maybe limited availability. So how do you think, what are you thinking about your product in terms of, will it, how will this replace, or how will this be everywhere, unlike, bagasse based cutlery?
Yeah, so I think the first thing is that talking about, there was a ban on single-use plastic, national-wide ban on certain single-use items, and especially cutlery was one of them.
Right.
So the market is very proactively looking for solutions. All those plastic spoons, plastic bowls, plates have been banned by the Indian government, which is a very welcoming and positive step. So there is definitely a void and a vacuum which has been created, and even the market for these tablewares is growing at a very impressive rate. So definitely there is a big opportunity, and what we are doing over here as Kraft is that we are enabling this industry, because we are not making the final tableware, we are making the ingredients. So if anyone would want to say set up like a tableware unit, we will provide the ingredients to them, sustainable building blocks of that packaging material, so that they can make tableware or whatever other products that they can make. And one more thing is that talking about this pulp and paper industry, there is already an acute shortage of raw materials globally. In fact, the prices of pulp has been very volatile due to the pandemic and due to the Russia-Ukraine war as well. So it is a really good time for companies like us who would want to venture into sustainable pulp making and cater to the current market need.
Now, what I wanted to ask is, how is rice straw based cutlery going to be different from bagasse based cutlery, which hasn't taken off in a big way?
I think it doesn't matter in that way, reason being it's a very big market. And at least one good thing is that bagasse based tableware has been able to create a market.
There is always
when people are usually eating in these disposable tableware made up of sustainable material, they actually do not notice ki if it is made from bagasse or rice. So there is already, it's a very big market and a room for everyone to play. Good thing again, as I mentioned, is that a market has already been created now. So it's just that we have to join hands together all the sustainability packaging players and then meet the market demand and flush out single-use plastics as soon as possible.
Okay. And rice straw has, you know, so briquettes or pellets or rice straw applications for fuel, those have taken off in a big way. Right, so lot of with you know, lot of manufacturing companies, they want to run their boilers on rice straw based fuel now. So do you think going forward, do you see a scenario where there could be shortage of rice straw, and then how are you thinking about building the supply chain and securing rice straw availability?
Yeah, so just to give a number here, in India we have around 500 million tons of crop waste which is generated annually.
Right.
It is double the global plastic waste. So we have humongous and massive amount of crop waste which is lying on the fields, and around 80 million tons of this crop waste is getting burned, releasing 150 million tons of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. So this is one area where there is absolutely no shortage of raw material. It is not competing. And in fact, more and more people and more industries should come into this field, which will eventually help in smoothening the supply chain and making the market linkages. So we need more people coming into this field.
Okay. So then the challenge is about incentivizing farmers to, to not burn it. Right. So what you are suggesting is that that the pricing or whatever, economically it is more attractive for farmers to sell to furniture applications because the realizations are more, right.
And even if we have to say compete with any other applications, we are able to provide better margins as compared to biofuels or other biochar applications.
Would it be possible for you to elaborate on that a little bit?
Say, for example, usually biofuel and other applications which requires rice straw for electricity generation, they procure it around 1.5 to 2 rupees per kg.
Right.
But our, since we are making high value added products, we can even procure it around 4 to 6 rupees per kg.
Okay.
Almost 4 to 5 times higher than these companies. But for them, it is not possible to afford it, for these biofuel companies to afford it at this rate. Because they have to procure it in a very huge quantity, and then it's not economically viable for them. So that is always an advantage that we will have because of our applications.
Okay, wonderful. And Shubham, you have raised a number of grants. For example, you have raised 2 grants from BIRAC itself. So talk to us about how to do a grant proposal well.
Yeah, so we have been, extremely lucky. We also work very hard, in fact, other than luck, to get these different grants. And but couple of suggestions I would like to give based on our experience is that be very thorough, be very clear on, you know, what you want as an outcome from the grant. Usually these grants ask to prepare a technical milestones and technical timeline as well, with proper objectives. So that has to be very clearly defined with very clear goals, because if it is not, then in the technical interviews the reviewers easily pick it up. So that technical know-how, that technical acumen A is very important. Second thing is that they also judge on the business sense, because a lot of time scientists and researchers are applying who have only a one-sided technical view but do not have the understanding of the market.
Yeah,
but for these grants, it's important that whatever you are proposing, it should have a commercial application, so that it does not become like a lab research work, right? It should go into the market. It should serve the society. That is very important. Third thing is team, because one person cannot run a company, and one person is not enough. So that team is very important. A team coming from different backgrounds and contributing to that project. So that has a very important weightage. Fourth thing is national significance. So especially government grants, they do weigh in applications, which can contribute significantly in national interest. That is also very, very important. So these are like overall, you know, four main points which one should take care of while writing brand proposals. And one more thing that I've seen is that the proposal should also be narrated in a way like a story.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Though it's a draft, but everyone likes to hear stories. Everyone like to, you know, listen, read proposals which are very interesting. So that also helped us a lot, in fact, that how we curate our words, how do we, you know, put together so many, like we have a very interesting stories with the farmers and the environment. Yeah. Yeah. And then putting it together into a beautiful way also helps.
Okay.
While we are
okay.
giving presentations as well in the technical interviews.
Okay, got it. So there has to be, the technical aspects have to be thought through, market feasibility should be presented well, there has to be a team, and if it is solving a national problem, all the more better, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, Shubham, lastly, what are the next 6 months looking like for you?
So this year is a very exciting year for us, since we are setting up our first factory. We have already started making boards commercially, and the pulp and paper is also starting. So a lot of further market validation will happen in the next coming 6 months in proving our technology at an industrial scale. We have been working with several MNCs on sustainable packaging products, and we are very excited to launch some of the very innovative products into the market in the next 6 months. So that is the plan, and hopefully as a company we also look forward to grow more, raise funding, do more research work, grow our team, and do things more aggressively. So that is our plan in the next 6 months.
Okay, wonderful. I hope next time eggs come to my house, they come in a crashed pack.
Definitely, we would happy to in fact make you a furniture piece as well.
All right. Thank you, Shubham, for your time. It was lovely talking to you. Wishing you and Crass team all the best.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Green Business Podcast. This show is brought to you by Finetrain, an advisory firm that supports green businesses in fundraising. You can read more on us on finetrain.com. Thanks again, and see you next time.